Welcome back to the Global Greek Influence Podcast. I'm Panayota Poumenidou. To be up to date with news from the Global Greek Influence Podcast and suggest your topics, subscribe, like, and review the Global Greek Influence Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, Amazon Music, and four more podcasting platforms. You can contact the Global Greek Influence through the podcast, Facebook, and Twitter accounts, the podcast website, globalgreekinfluence.com, and LinkedIn page. And the second welcome to the Q&A series in a nutshell of the Global Greek Influence podcast. Every week, I collect your questions and answer them in an informed but compact way. I gathered a few questions that can be grouped under the topic of renewables and emissions reduction. Now, one might say, yes, I have listened or read about this before, so what's in it in this Q&A? Let's say you will listen to the least approached answers of questions you might listen to and are custom made to sectors that benefit from renewables and emissions reduction. So the first question is, why do we want to reduce emissions? Apart from the well-known reasons that most of us know, which are under the umbrella of climate change, we could also split the reasons to reduce emissions to less pollution, healthier communities, reducing harmful chemicals, and noise. So less pollution. Taking public transportation reduces carbon dioxide emissions by 45%, decreasing pollutants in the atmosphere and improving air quality. Why healthier communities? To improve the air quality in a community, and that simply means better health for the people, which translates to fewer cases of respiratory conditions such as asthma and even cancer. Harmful chemicals are reduced. We usually think of carbon dioxide, nitrogen oxides, as the only pollutants when it comes to cars, but cars also use antifreeze or other fluids that are harmful to the environment, consequently to us, because we live in that environment, even in an urban setting or not. Noise is also pollution. Technological innovation makes a difference. Climate change is an intergenerational issue. Technological change and innovation are dominant to longer-term efforts to mitigate climate change by developing alternatives to fossil fuels. While current technologies can radically reduce emissions, we have both a remarkable inactivity in the energy system and room for further cost reduction in the technologies involved. Reductions are expected to result from upscaling their production, but many times forecasting new technologies' financial benefits through modeling suggested that such models need to be further developed and improved. We have to invest more in new technologies and their large-scale applications to lower the cost of reducing emissions in the future. One might ask, especially those industries that promote that there is no climate change, as they might not or cannot change their business model, who benefits from reducing emissions apart from the society and the environment? All Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, are cost-measured. Companies and businesses that do not have access to the monopoly of natural resources, including materials, for specific renewable technologies in transportation can benefit from reducing emissions. Countries that invest in new technologies become leaders in novel systems that meet future challenges. For instance, Scandinavian countries use foresight tools in their policy making and in their technological focus. Having the tools today that transcend disciplines of science and technology, economical sectors can give us a better view of what to expect and how to best meet future challenges. A follow-up question to who benefits from the reduction of emissions was, why would the industries and economic actors be interested in reducing emissions? Economic actors and the industries should weigh the benefits of emissions reduction through new economic and industrial opportunities. While reducing greenhouse gas emissions is becoming the new reality, businesses compete to offer new low-carbon technologies, goods and services such as offshore wind power, high-capacity batteries, and advisory services for low-emissions urban planning. Companies that are successful in establishing these advantages advantage early in the race of a zero-emissions economy can access the new market opportunities that come from the prerequisites to reduce emissions in other sectors or in other countries, therefore resulting to new benefits to the economy. So, what strategies could industrial actors follow to reduce emissions? The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or as known as OECD, recommends that if economic benefits of avoiding climate damages such as increased flooding, droughts, and extreme weather events are considered, actions on climate change together with pro-growth policies could add almost 5% to GDP in G20 countries by 2050. The industries can reduce their emissions through improving their energy efficiency, fuel switching, the use of combined heat and power and use of renewable energy, as well as through the more efficient use and recycling of materials. Especially in Europe, we see many energy suppliers offering green energy tariffs or contracts, which means the energy industry's use is matched with the amount the supplier buys from renewable energy sources. The greater number of businesses which sign up, the more renewable energy is fed back to the grid. Also, by engaging with and evaluating their supply chain, can further reduce their emissions. Energy-intensive industries, such as that of steel or cement industry, could explore the replacement or redesign of those processes that are the most energy-intensive or that have the most significant carbon footprint. We see many traditional hydrocarbon industries, for instance, already switching to renewables, such as BP, which furthers its investment in bioenergy, including biofuels. They built a bioethanol plant in Brazil since 2008, launching a low-carbon green hydrogen cluster in Spain's Valencia region, even signing a strategic alliance to accelerate the deployment of electric mobility in Spain and electric vehicles hubs across Europe. So, how can we reduce emissions in transportation, for instance, which is the greatest pollutant sector when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions? I'm sure experts in transportation will tell you that we can reduce emissions by increased use of public transportation and creating smart transportation, all parts of a smart and dynamic future mobility and its logistics. The core to the principle in reducing emissions in transportation rely on the fuel we use or the source that will provide energy to produce motion in a transportation system and the system that utilizes that fuel. We have spoken before in this podcast of electric vehicles as an intermediate technology to reduce emissions. One has to see how electricity is produced to be stored and if the life cycle of a vehicle, which includes the electricity produced, the plant that produces the vehicle, the battery produced, the transportation of the vehicle from the factory to the end user, the stations built and operating for charge have zero or negative emissions. So when we talk about fuel cell vehicles, the same applies. The life cycle of a hydrogen car has to have zero or negative emissions life cycle in terms of the hydrogen production, the transportation of the vehicle from the factory to the end user, the hydrogen refueling stations built and operating for charge. Also, how much of the water used for hydrogen production comes from sources that could be used for drinking water. The price of hydrogen is dependent on the water source. For instance, if desalination of water is required for its electrolysis, the price of hydrogen will be higher. So far, the most promising technologies in transportation seem to be the hydrogen fuel cell cars and electric vehicles. The question is, can we use either technology in transportation for all scales of transportation, or is it too early to say? What we know so far is that battery electric vehicles meet better the needs for short range and small vehicles, while the fuel cell technology is more appropriate for medium and large and long range vehicles. Overall, we have two ways to reduce emissions: technology-based solutions and strategies to reduce transportation emissions, which is bike vehicles with better fuel economy, increased fuel efficiency, reduction strategies, increased use of alternative modes of transportation, and reducing the use of single-occupant vehicles and vehicle distances traveled. As described before, the transportation sector is the most polluting one. So, what is the future of renewables in transportation? We see the compartmentation across the globe regarding countries accessing sources of fuels to secure their transportation needs and the transportation technologies associated with various fuels. It is of equal importance for leading businesses to see and understand that the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals are nothing more than the challenges we will find soon enough in front of us. Accessibility to water, food, and energy when we already have a world population of 8 billion and 0.9% of population growth in 2020 is a challenge, especially if we see that urbanization in many continents linked to increased quality of life and needs in agricultural production point out the increased need in food, consequently in water and energy, which includes fuels consumption and for their production, and the energy sectors. So when we talk and discuss about renewables in transportation, we have to keep in mind we want to access fuels to support global needs, even regionally, based on a region's accessibility to resources that support the fuel's choice, and to minimize emissions in an ever-growing population concentrated in increasing population cities and areas, and who might suffer from health issues related to emissions, which in turn increases not only unnecessary deaths, also increases costs to healthcare systems, especially where these healthcare systems remain public and open to access to the taxpayers. So we can see this cycle of how emissions in transportation can be linked to several aspects of our everyday lives without really seeing them. But we live all these necessities and all these changes and how this interdependence between different sectors of our lives affect one another and how emissions in transportation can actually affect how much water we will drink, how much food we're going to have access to, how healthy we're going to be in the present and in the future. So we see that all these aspects linked to the transportation sector become dominant drivers in the transition towards new technologies and new carriers of energy as fuels. Our cars are largely petrol-fueled, particularly passenger cars are the biggest source of emission in 2020, only to consider that in that year, passenger cars accounted for 41% of global transportation emissions. Overall, cars' emissions are known or suspected to be human or animal carcinogens, causing also non-cancerous health effects such as neurological, cardiovascular, respiratory, reproductive, and/or immune system damage. So the future of transportation is in the renewables, whether we talk about electric vehicles or fuel cell vehicles, and their smart operation as in autonomous vehicles and the smart design of transportation within the cities, creating smart cities. As a chemical engineer, an agnostic approach toward renewables in transportation should be used, whether we choose the most accessible to a geography technology that increases the security of a region or of a nation. We have seen throughout history the dependence of geopolitics on energy and their effects on politics, societies, their economies, and their people's well-being. For instance, in the European Union and the United States, the awareness that China controls lithium, the main material for electric vehicles, transforms both the European Union's and the US energy sectors, especially their transportation strategic vision, also their research, because both the European Union and the United States recognize that innovation in research is paramount to transform their energy dependence while promoting innovation in businesses and be at the forefront of novel technologies that other parts of the world will need in the immediate and distant future. Finally, foresight is important, firstly to renewables as the trends in technologies emerging from academic or startup research and should be closely followed not only by governments and businesses, also by policymakers. And secondly, foresight is important because relevant and adjacent sectors to those of emerging technologies and relevant innovation are also affected. Finally, the policymakers or decision makers in transportation have to closely look to the innovation taking place in the transportation sector and relevant technologies to foresee trends that could give better solutions to the ones we have now. This was the renewables and emissions reduction from the Q&A in a nutshell series. I'm looking forward to your questions from week to week, also your suggestions for future guests and topics. Thank you all for staying until the end. Stay tuned for another podcast episode and get notified by subscribing and following on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and 5 more podcasting platforms. Your feedback and suggestions also help us become better. Until next time.